everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. Great and wonderful things are happening in the world. Oh, Brother Copeland, what are you talking about? Where have you been? Everything's coming apart. The stock market's falling. Oh, what are we going to do? Oh, my goodness, you'd think the stock market was heaven itself. No. No, Jesus didn't come to bring us the stock market. He came to bring us life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. And you need to know how to develop your faith and how to walk in these things that God... Now, you know, you think about it. What if you were going into combat in the morning? Like a lot of these kids are that I was sharing with there in Fayetteville, North Carolina on these broadcasts. Well, I don't know, Brother Cole. Well, they know. They train the way they fight, and they fight the way they train. They're not going in there, I wonder what's going to happen next. No. Oh, no. No, no. They're set up. They're trained. They studied. They're ready for it. Get to a place where they're not surprised about anything. In fact, they in there to surprise somebody else. You need to be in a position where the devil don't ever know what you're going to do. But you do. Let me read this verse of scripture, and then we'll get right into today's message. This is what God said to the prophet Joshua. Be strong, good courage. Unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance for the land, which I swore unto your fathers to give them. Now, this was right before he went into combat. I mean, man, he didn't know those people over there. He wasn't too sure what was going to happen to him. But listen to what God told him to do. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And you'll make your way prosperous, and you'll have good success. Aha! Life simulator. This book is the command book of a life simulator. That's that closet that Jesus talked about, where you go into it and you begin to meditate the Word of God, and you take these incidences in the life of Jairus and the life of Peter and John and James and Jesus and Joshua and David and Moses and Daniel and the way the Word of God developed in them, and you meditate in them and you think about it. Hey, well, let's get into it. Fear drives people that don't know faith, don't know God, don't know these principles and how to walk in them. Now, say it. I refuse to fear.
I refuse to fear.
Because I have been delivered from fear.
I have been delivered from fear.
Which gives me authority.
Which gives me authority.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Fear.
Fear.
Leave me.
Leave me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, perfected love casteth out fear, which is 1 John 4:18. Now, I'll give you the scriptures. You look them up and study them later. The 17th chapter of John, Jesus was praying, Father, show them you love them as much as you do me. Now, that's hard for the religious mind to even swallow. It's double hard for the hard sinner like me, coming off of the street and finding out that God loved me as much as he did Jesus. I read that and stood there and my knees shook, man. And I started to say it two or three times. And I'm going to say this if it chokes me. And it nearly did. But I said, it's written in red and I'm going to take it. And I started confessing that, and my faith started rising up in me. Man, I'm telling you, it made me want to charge like a bull. God loves me as much as he does Jesus. Well, now what would happen to Jesus in this situation? What did happen to him? When they attacked him and they tried to stone him, do you remember what he did? He just exercised his faith and promises. The scripture said he would walk among us as light and they would perceive him not. So what did he do? The scripture said, hid himself and walked away. Where'd he go? Where did he go? Where did he go? How can you stone somebody you can't find? Yeah, but Brother Copeland, that was Jesus. I know it. And he's living in you.
Yes.
Same spirit is dwelling in you that raised him from the dead. My Father loves me just as much as he does Jesus. Now you start quoting that. And you quote this scripture. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. From the book of Romans. And you start quoting that. And you start saying that. And what happens when you do? You can't say that without the love of God activating in your spirit. You can't say that without the Holy Ghost strengthening your inner man by his spirit. Hallelujah. And you start growing on the inside. And you start expanding on the inside. And suddenly you start getting bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. Now, fear is not in your spirit. Jimmy, long as I'm going to get up here preaching to you, I need to know your name. But yet fear is not in your spirit if you're born again. If you're not born again, it is. The unborn again man has the faith apparatus in there, but since he's not connected to God, instead of it being faith, it's fear. Instead of it being love, it's hate. Instead of it being faithfulness, it's discouragement. But when he gets born again, all things are made new. And now he has faith instead of fear. The love of God is shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost. Now where fear is in his soul, in his mind, his will, and his emotions. Now you can get fear down into your spirit if you keep administering it there by talking it and acting on it. Talking it and acting on it. That's when a born again believer begins to develop a phobia. Fear and panic attacks. You ain't got no business with that. How does a believer get fear into their soul? Well, first of all, by violating the covenant of love. Perfected love casts out fear. Violating love opens the door to it. It is time to lay hold on the hope. Let's look in 1 Timothy. We'll read several scriptures tonight, and then we'll take up tomorrow and complete what we don't get done tonight. 1 Timothy 10, and let's read down through the 19th verse. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. You can love money and not have any of it. You can have more than enough money for everything and not love it. You use money to love people. You don't use people to get money. Which while some coveted after. Now that's what God is against. To covet is to love it. To love it is to covet it. Well, now, things are the same way. You don't want to begin to say, I just love my car. I love my house. Those are just things. They're to be used and enjoyed. But your love, see, the functioning in you is the love of God. That love that Jesus said, Father, same 17th chapter of John, Father, the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. Did you hear this? Father, the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the only perfect man that ever lived, I am going to the cross so that you can consider them as perfect as I am by grace and by my love and by my word, and the love wherewith you love me may be in them. In them, not just love them with it, but that love be shed abroad in their heart by the Holy Ghost. And you have the authority to love with it. But you can't develop it when you keep exercising it, knowingly or unknowingly. You can't develop it if you keep exercising it on things, because things can't respond to that. Now, that's why you don't allow your mouth, if it's nothing else but out of respect, to say, I love my car. How you don't love your car. What does the scripture say about these things? It says, this is the work of the Lord, and it's marvelous in my eyes. Now, the first time you ever give a car, the first time you're so blessed of God that you walk in that bank and do like I did, I owed the last $55 to my life. Gloria said I must have started borrowing money on my tricycle. She married me in my notes. But when we found this out, we started tithing. I'm telling you, if you're in a financial situation, don't jump ship and run. Don't cut and run. Fear will cause you to do something stupid. Fear causes you to make stupid deals. Fear causes you to devaluate your own property. Don't you dare do that. God Almighty knows the value of that property, and Wall Street can't tell anybody what it's worth. Isaac sowed in famine and received 100-fold. And God told him when the famine hit, don't leave. Don't go to Egypt like your daddy did. I will perform the oath that I swore to your father Abraham. Stay right where you are. Why? Why does he say that to you? Hey, listen to me. Brother Ken, times like this is when the church that has the Eden covenant, praise God, the blessing of Abraham, it's time for us to rise up and believe God. The money will come through us, not Wall Street. That's where it should have been coming in the first place. Yeah. Right. God, I need to help my next door neighbor. He's losing his house. God, help me. You better brace yourself. God will help you do that quicker than he'll help you pay off your own house. You know why? That seed is worth 100 times. It's worth 100-fold. It's worth more than money. That's the reason he said it's more blessed. Now he's referring to the blessing. Now you know what he's talking about. The blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. It was the blessing in the Garden of Eden that God said, multiply, be fruitful, and fill up the earth with this garden. Jesus said that giving releases the blessing. Not receiving. Receiving comes from the blessing. It's the giving that perpetuates it. He wasn't talking about more blessed to give than it is to receive. And everybody knew when you said it, that ain't so. In the carnal mind, it isn't. But in the world of faith, son. Whew, you sow that seed, and you release your faith, and your fear just goes flying out the door, and you say, my Father loves me, and I'm watering this ground. Glory to God, I'm determined to be good ground. And the word is sown in me, and I refuse to have fear. And now I fight the good fight of faith, and I lay hold of the hope that is set before me. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out, and I'm blessed in the field, and I'm blessed in the city. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, there's a depression on. Not at my house. The blessing is on at my house. I don't join in on your recessions. I join in on the power to change that recession. Not knuckle down under it. Fear will cause a recession to come on your house, and even when it shouldn't have. Don't join in on it. The news media is not your source.
Amen.
Listen, they love nothing better than to control your life. If they can control your life, they can get your stuff. And the stuff is all they want. If God controls your life and He gets your stuff, He's got more stuff than you have. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, yeah. Whew. Yeah. He got a lot more than you. And it's better than what you and I got. And every time you sow, it gets better. And every time you sow, it gets better. And one of these days, your slough offs are going to be better than what used to be the best you had. Yeah. Don't, whatever you do, if I could walk up to you and you had all of those problems, you know what would be the first thing I would say to you? Hush. Don't talk. Yell, no, don't say another word. You're not qualified to speak right now. Yeah, but I know Jesus is Lord. I know it, so shut up. You're baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Amen. I know all that. I know that. Shut your mouth. Now, first thing, get rid of the fear. Cut that TV off. Don't you jump ship. Don't you go dump all your stocks. Don't you dump this house. Don't you just turn around and walk off and say, oh, well, to the devil with the whole bunch of them, they shouldn't have put me in this note in the first place. No, you're in it. You got your name signed on it, and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, brother. You're going to do the honorable thing. You're going to close yourself back up in there. You're going to search that house over. You're going to find something to tithe. You're not tithing on what you've already received. You're tithing by faith on what you've got to have. You get before Jesus, who is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who met Abram with the bread and the wine and said, blessed be Abram. And then the prophet Malachi said, bring the tithe to me and see, saith the Lord, that I will pour you out. Blessing, the blessing, the blessing, the blessing of Abraham. You are heir to that promise. Amen. Get your mind on the promise.
Yes. Glory.
You shut yourself up. And shut up your mouth. You got bitterness in your heart. Don't open your mouth and lie against the truth. Be quiet. Get the word in your mouth. Get it in your eyes. Shut off the television. Throw them newspapers away. Cut them credit cards in half. You be quiet. You ain't ready to talk yet. Now you repent. You get before Jesus, the precious, honest, and faithful, and just high priest that loves you more than he loves himself. And you get honest. You're not there to condemn yourself. You're there to judge yourself. Call sin, sin, not your problem. Lord, I've been working on this. Well, what does that mean? That you only lie five times instead of eight? Get on your knees, on your face, and just get honest. You're not ready to talk to Jesus yet. Talk to yourself. Self, you backbiting, money grubbing, lying. You tell everybody you're going to be there at 8 o'clock, and you know your ugly self. You come dragging in there at 8:15. You lie every morning of the world. And it hadn't been for the grace of God, them people would have fired you 2 years ago instead of last week. And you saying, they've been out to get me. They've been out to get me. They couldn't find you, hoss. You was at home in the bed. You're a believer. They ought to set their watch by you. Well, I got to fix my hair. What's the matter with your hair? Who cares what your hair looks like, dear God? Have a great prayer time before God, and God fill up your room, and you go lose it all in front of the mirror for 15 minutes because you can't do nothing with your dumb hair. Lose a visitation of God. Dear Lord. No, you ain't talking to God. You ain't talking to me. You're talking to you. And get yourself over into a state of repentance. And say, Lord, there's some things working here that I'm not sure I know what they all they are. But I'm going to get it out, whatever it is. And I'm putting myself in your hands, Jesus. Now you're qualified to talk to Him. And I repent of it. And you show it to me and I'll repent on the spot. Put a watch over my mouth that I don't sin against you. You put a watch over me that I don't judge other people. I'm not anybody's judge. I want mercy and I give mercy. I judge not that I not be judged. I judge myself so that I'm not judged with the world. That's 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Read it, study it, stay in it. And then something comes up and you see it and you say, I don't want to do that. You'll cut the Holy Ghost off where He'll stop showing you things like that. You just stop right where you are and say, I repent. I take authority over my flesh in the name of Jesus. So help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God, to never do this again. Every time it happens, it'll be against my will, and I'll repent on the spot. If I have to repent in public, I'm not doing this anymore. Cut it off. You can tell. Pride, you ugly devil. Get out of me. Greed, I rebuke you. I'm a giver, not a taker. I'm a forgiver and not a condemner. Now, I don't know where you need me the most, but I'm willing. Minimum wage, what do I care? My needs are met by my giving. I don't make a living. Your word says, let him that stole steal no more. Let him work with his hands that which is good, in order that he may have to give to him that needs. There's your living. We live by faith. We don't make a living. How'd you get saved? Did you earn it? Huh? How'd you get it? By grace and faith. Isn't that right? How'd you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Did you earn that?
No.
How'd you get it? By faith, by grace. Amen. Isn't that the way you got it?
Yes, sir.
How'd you get your healing? Did you earn your healing?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace, by faith. What made you think you're going to have to earn your money? Well, I got to make a living. I got to make money. I make deals. I got to make my way in the world. No. That's the ungodly that prosper in the world. They gather up riches. They make money. They think they have to make money. They have to have money to be blessed. They have to be rich in order to be blessed. But we're not blessed because we're rich. We're rich because we're blessed.
Amen.
Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh. It makes the living. It makes the deals. It makes the way. It'll make you. You're not a self-made person. You are a faith-made person. You are a blessing-made person. You are a blessing. I'm going somewhere to be a blessing. You're not going somewhere to make something. You're going somewhere to be something.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 9 says you need to excel in this grace also, that even though he was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty you might be rich. What is rich? More than enough. More than enough to what it takes for you, and you take what
you have and you give and you put it in God's work and you put it in other people. And the more you put, the more you receive. And your knees just get swallowed up in there somewhere. Your knees get to where you don't pay no attention to them anymore. Why? You're too busy paying attention to other people that have needs. You don't have any debts. You don't borrow money. You borrow money, you have to bow your knee to some Babylonian somewhere. And that system. No. You don't borrow, you give. You're a giver. You're a sower of seed and a reaper of harvests. You're a forgiver. That's the reason you have mercy. You don't judge people. You're merciful. And you'll obtain mercy. Whatever you sow is what you get. Amen.
Amen.
We don't make a living. The just shall live by faith. We'll give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Get rooted in the Word of God in 2009. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Branson Victory Campaign March 5th to the 7th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri, then to Long Beach, California for the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center. Come to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, or visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
When you get your whole family together and you take a DVD like the Kingdom Principles that we've been talking about, where Brother Bill Winston and I were talking, specifically Brother Bill, talking about the Kingdom of God and the fact that the Kingdom of God can and will produce everything that you need in life. Far beyond anything that the stock market or all this world system over here can produce. They're still trying to get where the Kingdom of God will start you out. Amen. So get your hands on this. Get the whole family in there together and study it. You'd be surprised how fast your children will get a hold of this. Praise the Lord. Lay hold on the hope when you're faced with bad news. I mean, hush. Don't talk. You're not qualified to speak. You need to be talking about faith. We'll see you tomorrow. Till then, Kenneth Copeland reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For a DVD or CD copy of this broadcast, visit kcm.org. Thank you, partners, for helping us declare from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around that Jesus is Lord.